kids camp. Did anybody here go to kids camp? Give me a whoop whoop. Yeah, kids camp was so great. We kind of went towards Cave Junction, went towards the fire with faith last week on Monday, thinking, whoop boy, we're about 10 miles from this little Selma part of the Klondike fire. I hope it goes well. And God went before us and blew all the smoke to Medford. So we were on the west side of the fire and actually had blue sky for a couple good chunks of the time and just had an amazing time at camp. As a pastor, this is my fourth summer camp here at Bethel, and you know you try to find different metrics to give you an idea how did we win? You know, did we score a touchdown or did we not? How did we do? And so we've looked at those over the years. One matrix or metric that we use is rattlesnakes, and it was a 2 rattlesnake year. So praise God for that. 2 rattlesnake year in a leader meeting, and you know you have to imagine. I don't want to pick it up. You have to imagine this little baby rattlesnake, and I'm sitting here doing a leader meeting with Anthony Calandrino saying, "Hey, Pastor Ben, there's a snake by your foot." I mean, I could have been throwing leaders, throwing kids at that snake, anything to get out of there. But praise God, the snakes were only found by leaders, and it was an awesome thing. And we got to kill 2 snakes. So as me and Indiana Jones, we got one thing in common. Why does it have to be snakes? Oh, Lord. Why snakes at summer camp? You know, another metric you could use is, did you get a chance to play with an octopus? Checked. We did that at camp. Did you get to shoot a water balloon 100 feet? Yes, we did that at camp. Did you get to make lightsabers? Of course, we made lightsabers at camp. We had a great time. Were there relationships? Did people hang out with each other? And was that an organic thing that the leaders didn't have to force? Yeah, we had a lot of relationships formed at camp that were just awesome. Heather Gomberg actually got to help solidify a group of young ladies because one thing you don't know, Heather, would you stand up? Heather was awesome at camp. Give it up for Heather. One thing you may not know about Heather is she's not afraid of bugs like a normal person would be. There were some bugs that were this big. And I got a great video. She puts these things on her hands and she walks up to the junior high school girls that were helping. And she's like, "Hey, what's this?" Ah! You should have seen Haley Hackworth. Oh, my goodness. Slaps the hand. She was so scared. So that's another metric. But there were great relationships at camp. But for me, what Susan, myself, Callie Motzler, we had been praying about, kind of dreaming this camp up for months, was that kids would experience God at camp. That there would be an awesome sense of his presence, that our students would experience God in a new way and have a significant moment. And I have to tell you, in 4 years of camp here, it seems like every year the kids have dug in a little deeper, dived into worship, dived into hearing from the Lord, and this year just blew the top off. I mean, it was unbelievable seeing these boys who never sing here at church. They're always sitting with their hands in their pockets, but they get out there at camp and they are crying out to the Lord, raising their hands to him, worshiping Jesus. We had a moment at camp where our camp theme this year, being Star Wars, was resistance. The thought of this group of people, a small group that's willing to do what is right, even when it's hard, even when it's not popular, even when the force of darkness is so much greater, seemingly, but that you are going to keep pushing Jesus forward. You're going to keep him in front of you and continue to bring hope and love to our world. And we just asked, we talked about giving up, we talked about being resistant to fear. We talked about being resistant to laziness and giving up some of our screen time. Parents, there was a lot of kids who raised their hand and said, "I'm going to give up some screen time so I can pursue Jesus." So you can follow up with them on that. But this was some big stuff, and still the kids wanted to be prayed for. They wanted to have their leaders pray for them, that they would have the Spirit of God working in them to do mighty things. And on the last night, we had just this unique situation that I will never forget. It did happen like 5 days ago. but I promise you I'll never forget it. And as we're finishing up our service, and we've been praying for our students and all week kind of getting in it, I had the sense from the Lord that was so clear to me as we were wrapping up saying, Ben, I want you to give the kids a chance to minister. I want you to give the kids a chance to hear from me and speak to their fellow kids. So we had our last song playing, and I simply said it. And so, you know, when I do altar calls in children's ministry and we have this time, it's such a sensitive age group, these kids. So I am so sensitive to not be manipulative, to not be over-emotional, because we could get kids to receive Jesus every day, at least with the emotion of it, right? And trying to get them feeling like, I don't want to go to hell. Yeah, yes, I want to be a Christian. And there's a bit of that where we do let them know the truth, but we try to keep the emotion out of it, that they can clearly with their minds make a decision. And in this case, that's how it was. I just simply prayed or simply said to the group, hey, we're going to play this song. All I want you to do, if you're willing, is to pray to God and ask him, is there anybody at camp who needs to hear a message from God? If God gives you a name, puts somebody in your mind, I want you to then pray. And if he doesn't, that's fine. But if he does, then pray, what do you want to say to them, God? We played the music, kids are praying, you know, kids are starting to poke each other with their flashlights, which is letting me know, okay, let's wrap this up. So I go up on stage fully expecting no one to raise their hand. And when I ask, hand after hand after hand, all right, this may happen more than once where I have to take a pause and not cry. All right, whew, we're good. Kids that so clearly heard from the Lord, so clearly were able to give another student a message from camp saying, you know what, God loves you so much. You know what, you're awesome. And I know you've been struggling, and I'm so thankful you came to camp. And just word after word after word from our students. And it just solidified something that I knew. It solidified something that I've been passionate about. And that is, God is speaking to our kids. You know that? Yeah. God is speaking to our kids. He doesn't reserve that for adults. He doesn't reserve that for pastors. God wants to speak to you today, and God wants to speak to our kids. And so I just wanted to give you an update on camp. Let's praise God with that, because whoo, God was so good at camp. It was amazing. We returned with all of our kids, which is also a plus. Today, what I want to talk to you about is just I have a very simple main point, and I hope it comes home for you and resonates, but it's simply that children are important to God, and there are certain phases in kids' lives that we can leverage to make the most of that. So let's watch this short video, and then I'll finish up. Thank you. No crying. There's no crying allowed today. That's why I was in the back, so I didn't have to watch the video. I want to cry. So we're talking about phases, right? Many of you have heard the thought or the phrase for a phase. A phrase for a phase? Oh, man. It's just a phase. It's just a phase. Almost in this negative sense, like, I mean, if you've had toddlers, you know, like, oh, man, I can't wait for this phase to be over. And one of my goals for today is to try to redeem that. Try to redeem that as we look at it differently to say, yeah, it's just a phase. And we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss a piece of it. Now, you might remember, if anybody heard me speak last year, blessings for staying with the church. You guys are amazing. I really appreciate that. I had a jar, and this was that jar from last year. And inside this jar were roughly 1,000 marbles. And what this jar was helping us to understand is from the time your child is born to the time they graduate high school, I mean, if it was like they graduate on their birthday, it would be 936 weeks. So, you know, we have about 1,000 weeks between when those kids are born to when they graduate high school. And all of a sudden, as parents, you do lose a lot of that influence that you had, right? We got this time. And the crazy thing about it, when you look at 1,000 weeks, it's like, I got all the time in the world, right? It's funny how things don't really matter until you get to the end. Like, you think of these football teams, right? Even at the beginning of the fourth quarter sometimes, the way they manage the time is completely different from the way they manage the time in those last 2 minutes. Because it's so precious when it's at the end. And what I want to challenge you guys is today, don't push off the phases in your kids' lives until you get to the very end and you only have a very small amount of time left to know, to impart the things that you want them to know. Now today when we talk, I want to talk a bit about phases in kids' life. I want to talk a little bit about how Jesus feels about kids. But one of the things I want to talk about is if you have kids today, I'm talking to you. I do not want you to miss out on these phases in your kids' life. And parents, as a children's pastor, they've often asked me, Pastor Ben, is there a particular phase in a child's life? Like, what's the most critical time? Give me an age where kids are more receptive to Jesus, or what is the most important? And honestly, my answer every time, the most important phase in your child's life is the one they're in right now. Because the truth is, you know, I could start dumping these out. You know, even by first grade, how many of these marbles do you lose? You don't have any access to the time that is gone. But you do, and you can leverage the time you have to help turn your kids' hearts to Jesus, right? And praise God, some of our kids, we get a little extra time with. They may not go to college right away. We get to impart a little more wisdom into them. But the truth is, guys, at some point, all kids will leave home. And how hard that can be as a parent to lose that influence and being able to think back on how you spent that time. However, parents, I'm talking to you. Everybody else, if you don't have kids, I actually brought this special jar today. This special jar. Now, this jar actually has 52 marbles in it. These 52 marbles represent the hours that our church, us, not just me, us, we get a chance to minister in kids' lives, that we get a chance to help them know the things of God. And in truth, I mean, let's be honest, not many of you guys are coming 52 weeks out of the year. So what we're really talking about is 40 hours, right? And I'm going to say, we take attendance every week in kids, so we know. You can't lie to us, because we see when you check in your kids, even 40 is a stretch. We're far more closer to 25, 26 hours in an entire year. Now, I'm under the strong impression, I want to put my marbles in this parent basket. Because parents are going to have the best chance of bringing their kids to the Lord. Parents are going to have the best chance of molding their kids for Jesus. But I'm going to have to answer to God for this 25. And I can tell you that I want to put effort into this too. As a community of believers, as Bethel Church, that we could pour into this 25. And you have to know, we're doing good stuff. We have been shaping our programs over the years to make them leverage every phase. In preschool, in our Promised Land area, we know that in that phase, kids are asking a certain question. And if you've hung around with preschoolers, you may have heard this question before. Can you see me? Can you see me? I was just at a birthday party on Saturday, and my daughter jumping on a trampoline. In her mind, she must have thought I had never seen something like this before. But she said four times, "Dad, can you see me? Dad, watch me do this. Watch me do this." Because at that age, as these kids are learning what it means to be a person, they're asking this question, can others see me? Can what I do make a difference? Do I have a role to play? They're beginning to put these pieces together, right? However, in elementary, it's a different question altogether. And of course, you know, some first graders may still be asking, can you see me? Can you see me? You may hear that a lot. But as they're getting into upper elementary especially, they begin to ask a totally different question. And that question is, do I have what it takes? My son came home from first grade. This was 2 years ago. And he brought home a piece of art that was graded. All of a sudden, you get to elementary school and you're getting grades. You're getting feedback on a picture of a fox that he had colored. And I'm seeing this thing like, what? How does this not get full points? This thing is a masterpiece. This is amazing, right? And so kids, as they get older and older, they're beginning to learn, do I have what it takes? Can I even make it? Do I have the skills to survive in this world? Who has a junior higher? We have to bring you guys forward and pray for you right now because junior high, there's a whole lot going on in junior high. Oh man, how did we make it? How did we survive that age? They're asking a totally different question by that age. They're beginning to ask a question like, do I have friends? Am I able to form relationships with others? And how important that is for them. I recently heard this story, and it was kind of incredible, but there was a man that he had three kids, and his wife had just died. And he had gone to a conference that uses the same curriculum that we use here at Bethel in our kids' ministry called the Orange Curriculum. And so I'd heard this story from their Facebook page, and the man came to this conference and was just frustrated. Why did I even tell this story? I know I'm going to cry as I tell it. Was so frustrated with his daughter, who was so young, just wanted attention, 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 wanted everything from her dad. It was, again, can you see me? Can you see me? I got kids in that age group, so it's like the worst for me to talk about. All right, so she was all into that. You had this older kid into elementary. All they wanted to do was projects. Engage, engage. Can you engage me, Dad, in this? Can you engage me? Because I want to see if I have what it takes. I want to see if I can function, if I can function in this world. And then you had a junior higher, and all they wanted to do was hang out with their friends. So interesting to see how these phases in our kids' lives are so crucial and yet so able to be leveraged when we have a strategy in place to say, hey, we get where you're at, and we want to connect you to Jesus. Now, I'm going to be talking about this jar all day. Because the truth is, it is not Pastor Ben's responsibility to minister to every kid at Bethel Church, right? It's not even their parents' sole responsibility. It's all of us. It's all of us. And we see it throughout Scripture. Let me read for you. These are just a couple of quick passages, and unless you happen to be in Mark chapter 10, you probably won't get there in time. But let me read from you in Mark chapter 10. This is Jesus here. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. guys might remember this story. People are bringing kids to Jesus. He's doing healings and other great things. And the disciples are like, no. We've got important stuff going on. When Jesus saw this, catch this, he says, he was indignant. He said to them, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on them and blessed them. Kind of a powerful story, right? We get this glimpse into Jesus' heart that as the adults, these disciples were like, dude, we're seeing healings. We're seeing answers to prayer. We're seeing amazing stuff happen, and all of a sudden these kids come in, and it's like, no, we have important stuff going on over here. We have important things. The kids can wait. Now, it doesn't mention Jesus being angry too often in the New Testament, but this is one of those places it says, he was indignant. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. You get a sense of his heart here. Do kids matter to Jesus? Yeah. We said that earlier in the service. Kids matter to God. Another awesome passage in Matthew chapter 18. This is Jesus again, and there's this classic conversation going on by the disciples who want to know who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And it says this, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. That is fierce. Jesus isn't pulling any punches here. I mean, you get to see his heart, right? He's passionate about children. And it's not that he's saying, kids, you need to start acting more adult. He's saying, adults, you need to be ministered to by these kids because they're receiving me without any hesitation. I mean, when I see these kids step up on stage, right, and sing, they're pointing to themselves saying, I am a child of God. And they believe that. Even in my own life as a pastor, how many times have I doubted the love of God? But the kids receive it. How awesome that is. And so in this sense, Jesus is helping us understand some critical things. One, children matter to God, and God cares about them. And two, he was blessing these kids. He was bringing them forward saying, be like them. Kids can hear from God today. Kids can hear God's word. The Holy Spirit is in them to the degree that it is in any of us, and they can be used by God. And that is such a powerful thing. So the question is, as a church, how do we feel about that? Because it's easy on Sunday to say, yeah, kids matter to God, I get that. But if you imagined your time more like a checkbook, and you were writing checks to all the things, and then, let's just say, one day you would have to reckon all that time that you spent. If somebody looked at that time, would they look at you and say, this person cared about the next generation? This person cared about children. I can see it from the way they spent their time. And not just their own kids. They cared about the group as a whole. They cared about this next group coming forward who were going to be the next pastors, who were going to be the next policemen, the next people in the army, the next congressman, president, right? These are going to be the people that will lead the church next. Did I make a difference in their lives? And we see it in Scripture. You think of, well, Moses, God called Joshua right out from underneath him. Elijah, God calls Elisha right out from underneath him. We see Paul, we see God calling Timothy. God is always speaking to the next generation. Are you? Are you using words? And what I love about it is God used Moses to talk to Joshua. God used Elijah to talk to Elisha. God used Paul to talk to Timothy, right? Because God could have, in some divine way, given them everything they need to know and say, hey, you know, young Joshua, you can ignore every word that Moses has to say because I'm going to speak to you. You don't need him at all. Is that the way God works? No, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's the God of all of them, right? And so when we're thinking about this multi-generational God, we have to ask the question, what part do we play as the church? Where do we go? The truth is, you guys can see it, we only get a short amount of time. We only get this small window to minister to these kids, to help them to know the most important things about Jesus. We have curriculum, we have things that are in place to help with that. Let me get real. But we need people. We need people to help. We need people who are willing to pray. We need people who are willing to financially support some of the dreams and ideas we have as a ministry. We need people willing to serve. And when I talk about people willing to serve, I want to be very careful here not to step on anybody's toes too hard. But I have heard it said from not too many people here at Bethel because we get it, but from an amount of people in my life, they already served their time. They've already done what they needed to do. They spoke to one generation as Abraham. They got to Jacob. They don't need to worry about, or they got to Isaac. They don't need to worry about Jacob. They're done. I have to tell you, church, God has more for you. God can use you in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. Another idea I know that people have adopted is, well, I'm so old, I can't relate. You know, thinking of, we need high school, junior high leaders. We need people willing to serve. I can't serve with junior hires. They won't think I'm cool. Can I give you a secret on that? I guarantee you this will work. Because kids, and when I say kids, I mean birth through 18, kids will always gravitate to the oldest person in the room who takes them seriously. If you come in to junior high service and you're like, well, Pastor Ben made me feel guilty, so I'm here. I hate kids, which I have had some of my best children's workers say, which always makes me laugh. I don't even want to be here, but I'm here because I feel guilty and I should be. You may find the kids aren't super warm to you. That kind of attitude tends to permeate and rub off. But if you step into that service and you're saying, I know important things. Number one is, I know that you were made in the image of God. Number two is, I know that you can hear from God today because he wants to speak to you and you're important. I mean, if you're entering a room like that, do you think kids are going to want to come talk to you? Yeah, when you take them seriously, it's huge. Yeah. And so I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And Jeremiah, I got to get you a high five. Jeremiah was like, yeah, I'm a part of the worship team. He was up there. He was about to run up. Sorry. They're going to play this last song, and we're going to just be able to worship the Lord to finish here, which I love. We're going to be able to worship the Lord. But here's what I want you to do. As we wrap up today, I want you to pray about this. Does God have a part for me to play in ministering to the next generation? Does God have a part for me? Is there something I can do? And I get it. Maybe prayer is that. And it's not something else you can do, but you could pray. Well, I want to know if you could pray. We have signups in the lobby. I want you to write your name down if you can pray, because I have specific information that if I'm able to email out or get out to people and they could be praying for that, yes, that's a great way for me to know that I'm being covered in this ministry. If you're saying, you know what, I can pray, but I also could give. I want to support things like scholarships to camp. Did you know we gave out $2,500 in scholarship money? Give it up for Bethel Church. That's scholarship money for kids to go to camp. So amazing, right? If you can give, I want to know, write your name down, write your information down in the lobby. But if you can serve, if you're praying and you're open to God, and I don't do this because I'm telling you to. I want you to ask God and listen to him. And if he's telling you, you can serve. You have capacity in your life to make a difference in this next generation right now. If he's saying that to you, I want you to write down your information. You could also fill out a Connect card. They're in the pews here, and just write down, hey, I'm interested in children's ministry. I want to help out. And we're going to call you because kids matter to God, right? Whoa, let me say that again. Kids matter to God, right? Yeah. In fact, when you think about it, there's a question of when are children not going to be a priority to God? Never, right? When should they stop being a priority for me? Never. I want to love the things Jesus loved. And Jesus loved children so well. So pray about that as we sing. Everybody stand up. We're going to sing this last song together.